First of all, I'd like to welcome each of you to this retreat where we all get to share together in initiating this particular place into a retreat center. To thank you all for coming and to thank ahead of time all of the people who put a lot of energy into both organizing this retreat and over the next days will also put a lot of energy into looking after us. I'd also like to introduce to you Stephen. Many of you know Stephen already, who will also be helping out on this retreat. So tonight I'd like to just introduce you to what a retreat can be, what it may be for all of you, and to give you something of an overview also of the meditation practice. First of all, a little bit of background to meditation. Many of us do come to a point in our lives where we find ourselves wanting to know how to live in a more heartfelt way. To live a path of heart, a path of heartfulness that includes our relationship to ourselves, our relationships to other people, and our relationships to our own inner journey. Living in a heartfelt way really does mean different things to different people. For one person, it means trying to find a way of living where they feel not quite so dominated or overwhelmed by their minds. To live in a way where they feel that they are not endlessly lost in stories and thoughts and conclusions or images about the world or about themselves. For another person, living in a heartfelt way means trying to discover a way of healing some of the very deeply contracted or painful places in our hearts and lives. Learning how to heal fear, how to heal anger, how to heal separation that can be so divisive. For another person, a heartfelt life means trying to find a way where there's a more immediate sense of oneness or connectedness, or a way where there's a more access to spontaneity and immediacy. It's a very big path. It's a very big journey. The place it begins, of course, is this moment in our lives. How we are in this moment. There is no other place that we can actually transform. None of us have the power to undo the past, the events that have taken place, the actions that might have happened, the words that might have been spoken that have hurt or harmed. But the past can be healed in the present, through the quality of awareness and the quality of wakefulness that we are able to bring to this moment. None of us can guarantee the future. Even the next moment is uncertain for us. And it doesn't help us in our lives to be endlessly rehearsing what might be, what might happen, what could take place in our lives. But it is helpful for us to realize that this moment and how we respond to this moment is both the history and the mother of the next moment we encounter. A path of understanding, a path of heartfulness, I feel, it begins with a very important, we might say, essential question that I feel it is helpful for us all to reflect upon in the beginning of a retreat. And what it is helpful for us to reflect upon is to take a little time to reflect upon what it is that you actually value in your life, what it is that you treasure, what it is that is deeply important for you. To take the time to reflect upon the qualities of heart and of mind that heal, that liberate, that awaken, that bring peace, that bring compassion, that bring closeness, not only to ourselves, but equally, more universally, to the world around us. This question, or this kind of reflection, is a very important starting place in a retreat. It doesn't mean endlessly thinking or making long lists about all the things that might happen or that we could get that would make us more happy or more peaceful or in the future. But what is important to us in this moment in our lives? What is it that makes a difference? In a real way, those questions or that reflection is really the beginning of all paths of meditation. It's the beginning of all spiritual journeys, where each one of us really does begin to look very clearly, not so much at what has gone by, but at what is possible for us in this moment as human beings. What is possible for us as participants in this world that we live in. Reflecting or beginning to get in touch with that question of what we value, what we cherish, what is healing, what is awakening. In a way, that is the beginning of a path. Because if we can, through reflection, through understanding, begin to get a little clearer on those questions, we can learn in very real ways in our lives what it is that we need to nurture and foster, what it is that we need to develop in our own hearts and minds that will bring peace, that will bring compassion, that will bring understanding. Reflecting on that question, perhaps we also start to get a little bit clearer on what it is that we may perhaps need to learn to let go of, to let be, in order to deepen in understanding and compassion. What we nurture is what is possible. What we learn to let go of in a spiritual journey are the forces or the obscurations that lead us into places of fear or separation and distance. It is really helpful in this path not to so much project peace or understanding or compassion into some future moment, some distant destination that we may arrive at after we've made our own personal world perfect. It is really helpful to know that this path, both of nurturing and letting go, is a moment-to-moment practice. It is only when it's really only a moment-to-moment practice that it is actually a living path. And it's a practice that takes place in the midst of our lives, in the midst of both the joy and the sorrow, in the midst of the calm and the chaos, in the midst of the times of closeness and the times of distance. All of these moments are important. sometimes I think it's very easy to have a kind of image of meditation, you know, that we're going to sit down on a cushion and suddenly descend into great depths of bliss and calmness and peace. If you're very fortunate, that might happen. It's perhaps more realistic to say that our practice and our path has to include the whole of our lives. Does anybody here have a perfect world? Does anybody here have a world where they are not at times struggling with situations that are difficult, with people that they may feel disconnected from? Is there anyone here who not only maybe perhaps finds moments within themselves where there is great peace and calmness, but may also find moments when there's a lot of agitation or cloudiness or disconnection? These are not bad moments. They are moments where we learn about letting go and about nurturing. Now, when we come into a retreat environment, we're often encouraged or invited to think of ourselves as entering into a sacred space. Now, what makes this space sacred is not because we all sit cross-legged on cushions or even because we keep silent with our eyes closed. What actually makes this space into both a sacred space and the potential of being a transformative space is the commitment and the intention and the dedication that each one of us brings to it. This is what is most important on a retreat. It is what can make the retreat environment into truly a magical time in our lives. It's a commitment and intention and the dedication that we bring to this time. That we're very clear in this space that this time truly is dedicated in a very deep way to developing peace, to deepening in understanding, that it is a committed time. Now, meditation is an art. And like any other art, it is something that we develop, that we learn, that we become skillful in. Like any other art, whether it would be learning to play a piano or to write a book or to learn how to ski. This art of meditation is a place where we are all beginners. We begin, we learn it, we develop it. And in developing this art, there are two factors that are really important, just as in any other art. And they are the factors of both love and discipline. These two go very much together, both love and discipline. Love is very important in this path, in all spiritual traditions, in all meditative traditions, are really rooted in love. We don't meditate in order to become saintly or in order to become perfect. We learn to meditate in order to understand what it means to be a good friend to ourselves and to be a good friend and loving in this world. We learn to meditate in order to understand what it means to be a participant, a conscious participant, in creating a world of compassion and sensitivity and understanding. And in this practice, really what we are asked to do is to learn to fall in love with being awake, to learn to fall in love with awareness, with calmness, because these are the places of healing and of freedom. It is also helpful to understand that in meditation, that the path and the goal are not separate. We might say that the goal of meditation, yes, is great peace, is great awakening, is great compassion. But this is also the path. The spirit that we need to undertake this practice in. If you think of relationships of in your life where there is warmth and intimacy and openness and trust, they are relationships of great kindness, of great sensitivity. Very few of us really open or flourish in environments of harshness or unkindness. I mean, think about the last time that you were together with someone who was shouting at you or scolding you or judging you. In that moment, you probably didn't feel tempted to say, "Oh, thank you very much, I'd like some more of that." Mostly in those moments, we'd say, "I want to get out. I don't want to be here." There are certain lessons we learn that we too, inwardly, don't open or deepen in an environment where we're shouting at ourselves, where we're scolding ourselves, or where we're judging ourselves. In how we practice this path, we learn the art of kindness, the art of sensitivity and compassion in relationship to our own being. We learn how to be at home within ourselves. The other part of this practice that really balances and almost matures that love is a sense of discipline. There's a wonderful story about, that I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, about the time when Michelangelo had completed painting the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. And apparently he was surrounded by people who were congratulating him and applauding him and telling him what a most wonderful, what an amazing thing he had done. And as the story goes, he said, "If you knew how much effort it took to get here, you wouldn't think it was so amazing." Now in our practice, we are also reaching towards actually cultivating something really amazing. An open heart, an awake consciousness. But it takes a lot of effort to get there. It takes a lot of effort to create and to nurture something of great beauty. Now there are different kinds of discipline we've been exposed to in our lives, aren't there? There's a kind of discipline that can be very authoritarian, that can be very blind, that can be very demanding, imposed upon us. And all of us know that that kind of discipline is probably not that helpful to us. But there's another kind of discipline, isn't there, that comes from within ourselves and that is rooted in love, that is rooted in commitment, where discipline becomes an expression of dedication, an expression of what we actually value. And that discipline is important in practice. You think about coming into this retreat, we bring with us the habits of a lifetime. We bring with us the habits of fantasy, perhaps the habits of judgment, perhaps the habits of disconnection or wandering or being lost. It takes really some effort to find new pathways in our world. And it takes really some effort to find new pathways within our own heart and mind. I think this evening it's worth giving a few minutes to reflecting upon both what meditation is and what meditation is not. And I'd like to take a few minutes just reflecting a little on what meditation is not. First of all, meditation is not about self-improvement. It's not about getting or creating a perfect, infallible sense of self. It's not necessarily about fostering a more admirable sense of self. Meditation is not really about problem solving. It's not a time when we kind of sit down here in this room individually and we bring with us, you know, a whole suitcase full of all of the issues and all of the problems that we want to find answers to in our life, and then believe that we'll sit here and if we think about it enough, we're going to get the answers. It's not about more thinking. It is really about learning to access a more intuitive understanding that is not just bound to the territory of the thoughts that we have thought a thousand times before. Meditation is not just about having great and grand enlightening experiences. They may come. They may come. And they may also go. It is about something deeper than just getting high. But there are many things that meditation is. It is about learning how to listen. Learning how to listen to ourselves. Learning how to listen to each moment in our lives. Learning how to listen with sensitivity, without conclusions. Meditation is about the possibility of discovering new pathways, new territory of understanding, of seeing directly. Meditation is about deepening in compassion. And it is, most of all, about freedom. The Buddha once described meditation, the path of meditation, in three parts. And he said, upon goodness of heart, is built wise attention. And upon wise attention is built liberating wisdom. And these three together, of goodness of heart, of wise attention, and liberating wisdom, is really the territory that we will explore on this retreat. First of all, to reflect a little upon what is meant by goodness of heart. Goodness of heart means that we really make a conscious intention to turn our hearts away from anger, from hatred, from greed. That we turn our hearts towards harmlessness, towards protecting life, towards fostering all of that that really cultivates a world of kindness and sensitivity. Now, in this tradition, goodness of heart is often kind of portrayed through what are called the ethical guidelines or precepts, which are an important part of every retreat. And I'd like to go through these in something of a formal way. Now, the first of the precepts, or the first of the guidelines, which is said to really cultivate goodness of heart, is a commitment to harmlessness, a commitment to non-harming. Now, when we come into a retreat, most of us don't come in here with, you know, the intentions to go out murdering and killing and taking life. But we also know that we can bring into, that we can live in a way where we can be very guided by anger or by aggression that harms others and that harms ourselves. So commitment to harmlessness is really a commitment to loving kindness. Where we commit ourselves to protecting all life, even the smallest creature, that we seek to protect its life, that we let go of the thoughts of anger and aggression, The second of the precepts is a commitment to honesty. To honesty. There's something very wonderful about coming into an environment where nobody has to lock their doors, where nobody has to worry about things being taken from them, where there's a sense of respect and being taken care of. So we make that commitment to taking only that which is freely given to us. The third of the precepts or guidelines is around wise speech. Now in this environment, this becomes a little bit simpler because it's mostly silent. But we talk all the time to ourselves, don't we? Even when we're silent, we're always talking to ourselves. We're talking to ourselves about other people. We're talking to ourselves about ourselves. And some of the ways that we talk to ourselves can be very much featuring very judgmental thoughts, ways of putting others down, ways of putting ourselves up, ways of exaggerating. So we take care within our speech here to commit ourselves to honesty. Now, it is worth speaking a little bit about the silence. For those of you who have not done a retreat before, there's sometimes a feeling that silence is somehow very artificial, or it's very uncomfortable or unusual. But first of all, we should be clear that we don't really come on retreat in order to improve our social lives. You know, we're not really here to expand our social circle or to spend these 5 days finding out the story of every other person on this retreat, where they came from, what they like, what they don't like. We have 360 days in our year to talk, endlessly sometimes, to take 5 days to explore this territory of silence can be truly transformative. We really begin to appreciate the way that silence is a mirror for us. We see ourselves in it. We see the way our minds move. We see the way our hearts move. And within that silence, we listen so well to ourselves. We listen so well to ourselves. I think it's also important to remember that on a retreat, we are a community, and we all depend upon each other. We all support each other. We are all nurtured by each other. And there's that wonderful line that says, "The greatest gift we can offer to another is to respect their solitude." To respect their solitude, to respect this time that they take to listen inwardly. So with the silence, it's also very important that if you came here with a friend or with a partner or with your sitting group or with your entire family, that you make the time to, each one of us, commit ourselves to a certain quality of solitude and aloneness during this time, and to supporting each other through being silent. The fourth of the precepts is to respect, to sexually respect others. In the context of a retreat, that means being celibate, so it becomes much simpler. But it also means being aware of our thoughts. And the fifth of the precepts is to refrain from intoxicants. It seems obvious. We come here to be clear, not in order to be more clouded or more disconnected. So, you know, we let go during this time here. You know, we don't drink, we don't use drugs other than medically prescribed drugs. But also to be aware of sometimes how we can intoxicate ourselves with fantasy is a big one. Fantasy is the most popular intoxicant of the yogi. Wise attention. Wise attention. Wise attention is what we learn here. It's about learning how to be mindful. learning how to treat every single thing that we do here, every single action we engage in, every single sight and sound as being worthy of our wholehearted attention. That nothing is dismissed, nothing is considered irrelevant, but that everything is worthy of our attention. We will learn how to be mindful in all things. And out of mindfulness comes deep understanding. Now, just one or two other very practical things on this retreat. It's really helpful to cultivate simplicity. Now, this is obviously a fairly simple place, but even as it's fairly simple, we know that we could get into doing a lot of things here. Now, I've only been in Israel about 14 hours so far, but I have noticed that there's a certain inclination, it seems, in this country towards mobile phones. So if you do happen to bring one with you, it might be a good time to turn it off. Simplicity might also be letting go of anything that you don't really need to be doing here. You know, so if in your suitcase you brought this very intriguing book you were reading, you know, try and leave it in your suitcase. If you brought your business projects that you're working on, or your autobiography, or, you know, your final book of a grand poems that you're writing, try and leave it all aside for 5 days. Try and be so simple. You know, in India, there's a very well-known yogi who lives in Rishikesh. And his practice is very simple. But people from all over India come to visit him. And he lives in this little hut beside a waterfall. And every morning he gets up, and he stands in front of the waterfall, and he watches the waterfall all day. And when evening comes, he puts his hands together and bows to the waterfall and says, "Well done. Well done." And that's his practice, day after day after day. Just that simplicity of wholehearted attentiveness. And in a way, that's what we do in this meditation. We learn to be so simple in life and to learn from life through listening to life. And at the end of each day, we can put our hands together and say, "Well done. Well done." Okay, so I'd like to talk a bit about the meditation. But before I do that, if you want to stand up and stretch your legs for 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, don't go far, but if you need to move your body a little. will be spending really quite a bit of time over this retreat sitting in this room. So it is actually really important to give some attention to your posture. This practice very much is a practice of learning to befriend each moment, and that also begins with learning how to befriend our bodies. So it's well worth giving some time and attention to your posture. There isn't a right way to sit, and I would certainly really like to confirm that sitting cross-legged on the floor is not a faster way to enlightenment than sitting in a chair. So if you do feel the need of a chair, please do bring one into the hall and we can make, you know, a little circle of chairs around the walls if need be. Please don't be shy about that. You know, I think too many people have seen too many pictures of meditators and Buddha statues, and they think, oh, you know, this is the way to do it, it's the only way. But it's not the only way. What is important when you sit, first of all, make sure you've got enough space. Find a posture for yourself that feels both alert and relaxed. Perhaps the most important thing of all is to have your back straight. With our posture, we do embody alertness, or we try to embody alertness. You know, if we're sitting and we're all curled up, you know, we're already halfway to dreamland. So it's important to find a posture where your back is straight and upright. And tomorrow, for any of you who have more questions about posture, I'll spend some time in the morning making some more suggestions about ways of sitting that actually make it a little easier on your body. The practice is very simple, and it begins with establishing a basis of attention and a firm foundation of attention. It sounds very simple. It is very simple. It doesn't mean that it's easy. We will discover, possibly, that being attentive is one of the most challenging things we ever do in our lives. Being wholeheartedly attentive. We begin very simply by using our own breathing as the anchor for our attention. To be aware of your breath moving in your body. That's all. Now, some people find it easier to focus on their breath in one place. It might be their upper lip, nostril area, the sensation of the breath in that area. Other people find it helpful to be attentive to the whole movement of their breath, from the beginning to its ending, completely following that movement. Now, as we focus our attention in our breathing, you might find that you're there for one breath, two breaths. If you're greatly blessed, you may even be there for three breaths in a row. And then you may find that your attention wanders away to a thought or to a sensation in your body, to a feeling. It's fine. It's not some kind of major tragedy if that happens. Very patiently, very gently, you just notice where you are. You bring your attention back to the next breath. By learning to be attentive within our breathing, we learn to be more and more attentive to all of those moments when our attention departs from our breath. We learn to be more aware of the world of our thinking, the world of our body, the world of our feelings, the world of our relationship to each moment. But our simple resting place is this moment moment attentiveness to one breath at a time. And again tomorrow I'll give much more instructions each morning about the practice. But for now, just settling into a posture that feels relaxed and alert. And for a few moments, just paying attention to your body. Just noticing if there's any areas of tension or contraction in your body. Just paying attention to your shoulders, your face, your jaw, your neck. And just softening any areas where you do feel that there's some tension. Just consciously relaxing those areas. Letting your body, your posture, be soft and also upright. Just gently turning your attention to your own breathing process. Bringing a calm and sensitive attention to being aware of your in-breath and being aware of your out-breath. Being aware of how your body responds to each breath, the expansion and contraction, the rise and fall of your chest and abdomen. Not forcing your breath in any way, not trying to control your breathing. If your breath is shallow, just letting it be shallow. If your breath is deep, letting it be deeper. just breathing in with calmness and breathing out with calmness. Breathing in with attentiveness and breathing out with attentiveness. Just noticing those moments when your attention drifts or wanders away. Just gently, clearly returning to the next breath, to this moment.
I'd like to say how wonderful it is to be here with everybody, to see so many familiar faces and new faces too. And it really feels like being at home in a garden, and we're all growing together, ecology. I was explaining to Christina some of the places that we've been having retreats, and I explained something about the monastery in Jerusalem, and the image stayed with me, and I think that we are here, a walled garden, like in the monastery. And I hope we make really the best use of this time together and feel the protection and the growth like the walled garden.
I know that many of you come to this retreat this evening having walked, having traveled. So, as you've noticed, we're having an early night, an early to bed time this evening. If you would this evening make an effort to complete any business you need to complete so that when we begin the day tomorrow, you feel pretty clear that you don't have too much to do except be present. It's helpful already to start to let yourself slow down a little. You know, one of the great gifts of being on a retreat is that you really aren't compelled to rush around. There's not a whole lot of doing that you have to do. There's much more being that we have the chance to explore. So let yourself slow down. Let yourself begin to give attention to the very many small actions of our life that we so often lose touch with or ignore because of our own busyness. You know, the simplicity of walking to your room, of getting ready for bed. Letting that happen really in the environment of calmness that we nurture through touching everything with attention. Beginning the silence this evening, really entering into that wholeheartedly, making that commitment to yourself and to the community. Tomorrow morning, there's a wake-up bell, I believe, at 6. Okay. To take that time before the first sitting, if you feel inclined, move your body a little. Go for a walk. Do some yoga. Just begin the day where you feel a little alert. It's really helpful on a retreat. Not just to kind of fall out of bed and fall onto your cushion. It tends to be just a continuation of what's gone on before. So to begin the day in a way that you feel pretty alert and pretty here is great. We sit together at 6:45, and I hope you all rest well.